We invite you to join me as we turn to our scripture this morning. The scripture is found in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, picking up where we left off last Sunday morning. If it helps you to follow along, please do that. If you find that following along distracts you, we'd invite you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Who seized him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me and I will repay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until we would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay the entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Peter comes to Jesus with a question. How many times do I have to forgive someone who has sinned against me? A member of the church, a brother, a sister. How many times do I need to forgive them? Do I need to forgive them as many as seven times? And you can tell the way Peter asked the question that he seems to think like that would be a whole lot. And Jesus' response is not seven times. 77 times, or sometimes it gets translated 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus completely changes the question. Peter's question is an accounting question. How do I track this? How do I count it? Jesus' answer is a relationship statement. It's not about how many, it's about the process. It's about the end goal that we're after. Now, we're reminded that Jesus spends a lot of time talking about forgiveness and reconciliation in the church. As we were reminded last week, Jesus talks about how we reconcile with people we've wronged in chapter 5. We have the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6. We have how do you get reconciled with somebody who has wronged you in the first part of chapter 18. Talking about the whole point of this is if they listen to you, you have regained that one. Jesus spends a lot of energy and a lot of time talking about how do we go about this process of forgiving one another, of being reconciled together. And I can only think that Jesus would put that much energy into it, spend that much time talking about it, if at least one of these two things is true. Either it's something that Jesus thinks is really, really, really important, or it's something that we're going to have to do a really, really, really regular amount of time. Probably it's both. That we will find ourselves over and over and over again in positions where we need to forgive. And that matters deeply to Jesus. That's central to why he came to be among us. To bring that same kind of forgiveness to us, and so that we might find that kind of forgiveness to give to each other. And so Jesus begins to tell this parable. He said, look, because you should think about forgiveness as a process that's leading towards an end, the kingdom of God is like a king who went to settle accounts. And it came to a guy who owed 10,000 talents. Now, to put that in a context so we can begin to think how much that really is. So a denarii is what would normally be paid for a day's work. So you can think of that as 8 hours at minimum wage. Right? This is, if you work all day, this is what you're likely to get. Now, a talent is 6,000 of those. So this guy who owes 10,000 talents should be able to repay this debt if he works really hard, if he doesn't put it to anything like, housing or groceries or anything like that. If he puts it all into debt retirement, and he works really hard, and he doesn't take any days off, so if he works 365 days a year, it would only take him about 164.4 years to pay that off. I mean, if he works hard. So it wouldn't even be 165 years. That's all. Now, I don't know what this guy thought he was going to be able to do, but when the king calls him to account, he says, look, I'll pay it back. Now, one of the things that the scripture doesn't tell us is how did he get 10,000 talents in debt? Now, maybe he had a gambling problem. Maybe he had a drug issue. Maybe he had an unexpected medical emergency. Does anybody have an expected medical emergency? Maybe he had an unexpected medical emergency. Maybe it was something like a student loan, where you spend 4, 6, 10 times what you figure you'd be able to make in your dream job to get qualified to do that job. And then when you come out, if you don't get the dream job, assuming you're not one of the 15% of 18 to 29-year-olds who are unemployed, looking for work and can't get it,
assuming you're not, he's not one of those. So you go to work, not in the dream job, but in another job, and so the bank very kindly readjusts your payments to match your income, and so you can work and work hard and pay faithfully 3, 5, 10 or more years, and wake up and discover that you owe more than you did when you started paying, because the payment that the bank told you to make doesn't even pay the interest, let alone start to repay the debt. Maybe it was something like that. Scripture doesn't say, and I guess it really doesn't make much difference how he got 10,000 talents in debt, how he got 165 years of work behind. What matters was that there was no way in the universe he was going to be able to pay that back. And so the king looked at him, and after he begged, "Lord, please don't," forgave him all of that debt. So then he turns around and runs into somebody who owes him 100 denarii. So that's, again, if we're going to use days of wages as our metric there, so this is somebody who owes him about 90-100 days worth of labor. And the scene is the same. Pay me what you owe. I can't do. I will pay you back. I promise. But instead of being forgiven the debt, he's thrown in prison. Because obviously being in prison is the best way to pay off a debt. And so the other obvious thing, I guess this happened in a small town because word got around really quick. And the king got word of it. Called the man in and said, "How dare you? How dare you? I forgave you all of that, and you couldn't forgive somebody who owed you a fraction of that? How dare you?" So here's the punchline to Jesus' story. If you don't forgive, you won't get forgiveness. Now, there's two senses in which I believe that's true. There's a really frightening sense that is this parable. There's a really frightening sense that is the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, I would like forgiveness on the scale in which I give it to others, pretty please. So there's that sense. But there's also the sense of if we really, really get what forgiveness is, if we really, really understand what that's all about, we'll be able to forgive. When we come to terms, when we can wrap our heads and our hearts around how much forgiveness God has lavished on us, then we will be able to forgive. If we don't get that, we won't be able to forgive. And if we don't forgive, it just underscores that we didn't quite get it yet. Jesus ends the parable, so will happen to every one of you who does not forgive in your heart. So what does that mean? Now, for a fuller conversation about that, I would refer you to the online service. But let me just close with this thought. Forgiving is essential for relationships. Forgiving is essential for our relationships. That's why I believe Jesus spends so much time and speaks so frankly and bluntly about the importance of forgiveness. Not only about the lavishness of the forgiveness that God has laid on us, but also how very important it is for us to forgive others. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to forgive when we've been wrong. It's not easy to forgive when we've been wronged. But it is essential. It is essential. And while some people are uncomfortable with this notion of forgiveness and it being talked about in the language of debt and how much we owe, the reality is that when we sin and when we are sinned against, there is a loss. And things can never be what they were . But things can absolutely go on. And that is the essential part. And that's why Jesus spends so much time talking about forgiveness. Because it is essential for our relationships. Grace to you and peace. Amen. Go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And now may the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always. Amen.